Before we go into the Word of God today, I would like us to just pray these prayers with me in the name of the Lord. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. I will read from here. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan of his heart. Can we just say, I submit my plans to align with your plan for my life before my birth. Lord, I submit today my plans. Lord, I have plans, but Lord, I submit my plans, Lord, to align with your plans for my life. Lord, before I was born, the Bible says that you had plans for my life. Lord, I submit my plans to align with your plans for my life before I was born. Lord, I submit my plans to you, O Lord. I allow my plans to align with your plans for my life. That is the only time we can pray and then they will come to pass. When our plans align with the plans that he has for us, Lord, I submit my plans to align with your plans for my life. Because the Bible says that God always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Lord, because you are an accomplisher of what you have already planned, Lord, your plans for my life, let them align today. What I have in my heart, let them align with what you have for me already. Lord, let me begin to think big and do big so that my plans can be in the perspective of what you have for my life. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Lord, I submit my plans. Lord, I submit my plans to align with your plans for my life. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we just pray again that, Lord, accomplish your purpose and plan that are always good for me in the name of Jesus. Accomplish your purpose and plan. They are always good. The Bible says that his plans for us are good. Lord, accomplish those good plans and purpose that you have proposed in your heart for me, that you have proposed in your heart for the church, that you have proposed in your heart for your people. Lord, accomplish your purpose. Accomplish your plan. Lord, when they walk out of your plan, Lord, be kind enough to bring them back into your plans for their lives, into your plans for their lives, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you who have claimed us as your inheritance, that before we were even born, you gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, that we would fulfill the plan of God. Will you always accomplish everything, every plan, every purpose in your heart? You, God, accomplish all the plans and purpose in your heart. Lord, in this church, in our lives, accomplish your purpose and your plan for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we say thank you again. We have come before you, and here we are, about to listen to your word. Father, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Lord, we want to hear this word. Let it become a seed that will not just be deposited to be taken away, but a seed that will grow and become great and mighty, that will help our faith to work, and that will produce after its kind in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I submit myself. Lord, teach me as I'm speaking. Lord, speak through me. Speak to the people, and let our lives never remain the same. Thank you, Lord, for answering. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Last week, we started looking at a series. And our topic last week was, Thanksgiving is the answer to faith. Thanksgiving is the answer to faith. And God spoke to us about how we can pray in faith. And also at the same time, we can accept and receive his blessings by faith in Thanksgiving. But going on this week, as we left church last week, God gave me a revelation. I will share with us, boy. He just said something and it struck my spirit as we were leaving church last week. Actually, I'd already left already. And as I got that message, it struck my spirit. What did he say? God said, to increase your capacity to receive in me. To increase your capacity to receive in me. He said, thank me. He said, the only way to increase your capacity to receive is to thank me. As I heard that, it was just a confirmation that God wants us to increase our tempo of thanksgiving. And during the week, as we're just going on in the week, something else dropped into my heart as I was studying. God said that many people today call the name of the devil more than they call the name of God, even while they're praying. Out of fear of what the devil can do or has done, while they are praying, the amount of time they call the name of God, the amount of time they call the name of Jesus, is lesser than the amount of time they call the devil. And it is not because, that is not how it's meant to be. So as I was just ruminating about it, God said, do you remember what I said? To increase your capacity to receive the things that God has prepared for you, you need to increase your tempo of thanksgiving. That's why this month, I didn't know God was going to operate with us this month, or because last week, as he was saying, oh, he wanted us to model our character after the character of Jesus. I was wondering, I said, how do you mean, God? You want us to model our character after Jesus? So he said the month of August is modeling Christ. And I was wondering, modeling Christ. He said, before Jesus does anything, the first thing he does is to say, Lord, I thank you for your head. And that sealed the whole revelation to me. He said, before Jesus raises his voice to pray, the first thing he will say is, Father, I thank you because I know you always hear me. It means that for us to increase our capacity to receive anything from God, we have to increase our tempo of thanksgiving. Thank him. I remember the story of one of our fathers in the Lord that he was driving with a friend of his, and they were going to look at the land they were about to purchase to build a church. And our father in the Lord was saying something. He was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The friend of his that they were in the car together driving said, do you know that I counted that between the journey that we made of maybe about 12 miles or so, that you said thank you, Jesus, like 105 times? It was like, it has become an habit. It's not faking it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So for us to increase our capacity to receive, just like we said last week, that for us to pray the prayer of faith, it is a way of praying a prayer of thanksgiving. You are asking, oh, how can I pray a prayer of faith? It's praying a prayer of thanksgiving. Can we go back into the Bible and read, and I will read the book of Romans chapter 4, which is the same one we read last week, before we go into the message of today. I'll read the Bible verse, Romans chapter 4. I will start from verse 13. I'll read it quickly. Romans chapter 4. I will start from verse 13 and I'll read like we read last week. And you would see again where God is taking us to this week again. The topic for today's message is increase your capacity to receive. That's the title of our increase your capacity to receive. And the revelation that we said is, God said, to increase your capacity to receive, you need to increase your tempo of thanksgiving. So let's just read Romans chapter 4. God promised Abraham and his descendants that they would have an heir who would reign over the world. This royal promise was not fulfilled because Abraham kept all the law, but through the righteousness that was transferred by faith. For if keeping the law ends the inheritance, then faith is robbed of its power, and the promise becomes useless. For the law provokes punishment, and where no law exists, there cannot be a violation of the law. Verse 16, the promise depends on faith, so that it can be experienced as a grace gift. And now it extends to all the descendants of Abraham. The promise is not only meant for those who obey the law, but also to those who enter into faith of Abraham, the father of all. Verse 17, and what the scripture says means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our example and father. For in God's presence, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being the things that don't even exist. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be many, and they will be impossible to count. Verse 19. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in his faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham praised God. Verse 22. So now, you can see why Abraham's faith was credited to him, to his account as righteousness before God. And this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but over us. For when we believed and embraced the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness was credited to our account as well. Jesus has handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and raised back to life to prove that he made us right with God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. In verse 21, you can see Abraham had faith that God had the power to fulfill his promises. And because of that, Abraham praised God. Abraham glorified God. Abraham increased his capacity to receive by praising God. So to increase your capacity to receive, as we've said, praise God. But I would like us to look at it in a different way today. Because this is the beginning of a series that will continue next week. Increasing your capacity to receive is actually also praying right. We've said that to increase your capacity to receive, you need to praise. You need to be thankful. You need to believe in faith. But I want us to understand that we need to also be able to pray with confidence. Praise me. How can you go before your father? If my daughter wants to come to me, she comes with confidence. So much confidence that I would think it's arrogance. But it's confidence that they can ask you any question. How do we go to God's presence? Do we go to God's presence in timidity, in fear? Or do we go with confidence of his son? God is expecting us to increase our capacity to receive from him by approaching him with confidence. How do you pray? What is prayer? We've gone through all this in previous months. But I would like us to know that prayer is a legal right to ask God to supernaturally intervene on our behalf. You see, God will not supersede his law by coming into affairs of men without us asking him, giving him permission. And prayer is a way we permit God to interfere in the affairs of men. Let's read the book of Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Something is there that will help us to understand that this realm belongs to us. Psalm 115, verse 16. It's something that dropped in my spirit as I was preparing. God was showing us there something about the realm that we are in and how we can approach his presence to allow him to intercede in this realm. In the book of Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, "The heavens belong to God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge." I'll read it again. The heavens belong to God. The heavens alone are his. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge. It means that this realm belongs to us now. If we need God to intervene into affairs that are affairs of men, we need to permit him by prayer. So prayer is our legal right to ask God. It's a legal right. So think about it. You are asking him to interfere. So prayer is the legal right to ask God to supernaturally intervene on our behalf. On any situation, on any issue, prayer is legally asking God to come and intervene. Now, how do we pray with confidence in a way to increase our capacity to receive? How? What are the things that we need to do? Let me just quickly give us three quick steps. The first thing is that you need to decide what you want from God. How many times have we approached God with us not knowing what exactly God wants us to do, what we want from God? from today to be able to approach God's presence knowing exactly what we want. Many a times we've gone to the presence of God with babblings, with a bit of indecision, with a bit of, God, I don't know what I want, but I'm here. God is saying that approach my presence with confidence, in faith, with thanksgiving, but decide what you want from me. Like we've said in the time past, it's not about praying alone, but it's about praying the fast. You see, many people are waiting for God to drop the word. I'm waiting for God. God, speak to me. But God has already given you the whole word that he can give it to you. Look at the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. He has given you his indisputable word. What you need to do as a Christian is find the verse and pray the verse that aligns with what you need from him. Do you need healing? The Bible says that by his stripes we are what? We are healed. Pray it continuously, consistently, and what? It will come true. Are you looking for a child? The Bible says that there shall be no barren in his house. Are you looking for something? Seek the verse that aligns with it and pray his promise to him. So as we are going from here today, decide what you want from God. Find a scripture, find a verse. Not just waiting for the voice, but find the verse and pray the verse. You see, you can never be discouraged by what people say or what people feel. People are entitled to their opinion. People can feel any way they want. But let me tell us something. In the book of Psalm 32, verse 7 and 8, what does God say to us there? Psalm 32, verse 7 and verse 8. In the book of Psalm 32, verse 7 and 8, God is speaking to us there, trying to tell us that you cannot be led or, you know, live a life because of what people say or what people feel about you. You need to be led by what God says about you. Lord, you are my secret and hiding place, protecting me from this trouble surrounding me with the songs of gladness. Your joyous shout of rescue release my breakthrough. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you. I will instruct you. I will guide you along the path of your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with every eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn. When I take you where you have not been before, don't make it a tug. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. God is saying, I will lead you. Even if it looks as if you are in a desert, I am leading you. When I was studying the book of Exodus, God actually took the children of Israel through the Red Sea. There is another path they would have taken. But God purposely took them through the Red Sea for his own glory. God is telling us today that don't worry. What people are saying should not distract you. What people are saying should not make you feel as if I'm not. Look, it is you and me. When you go into a battle, you focus on the person you are fighting. When you go into a meeting, you focus on why you are in the meeting. When you are addressing our Father in heaven, focus on him. Because he says, I will instruct you. I will be your guide. I will be the one you need to listen to. People can say what they want to say, but why don't you listen to the word God is saying? People can say what they have to say, but why don't you skip on with the promise of God? Yes, it looks as if things are slow. But one thing I know is that when you have revelation, you know that things are not slow. When you have revelation, you know that things are not slow because time is of the Lord. Oh, yes. So you cannot be saying, oh, you are expecting something. But God has a better plan, like we said, that if you pray to God, God answers either with a yes, God, or we say with a go, with a grow, with a slow, or with a no. But your revelation knowledge, as according to the Bible, the book of Ephesians, will help you to know that yes, revelation knowledge helps me to know that God is going to do it in his own time. So we need to listen and follow after the words of God. Let what people say, let them carry on. When somebody is backbiting you, think that it's not one from fighting, it's called what? Backbiting. Because it pushes you forward into your own glory. So let people say, let people do, but you don't be discouraged. Because the Bible has given you the promise of God in Psalm 32, verse 7 and verse 8. And God is saying, don't let me force you. In verse 9. Don't let me push you. Don't let me drag you along. Just come with me. God is even pleading with us that, don't let me force you. God says, I have called you. God says, I have blessed you. God says, I am your healer. Don't let me push you. Don't let me force you. Just do what? Come along with me. So the first thing that we have learned today here is that when you want to approach God, or you want to, and you want to increase your capacity to receive, praying with confidence and intense giving, decide what you want, what from God, by finding a verse in the Bible that promises you what you want and praying it. One thing I found out is that the promises of God don't only come into existence when we pray them. The promises of God already exist even before. Let's look at it in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It talks about 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. I'll read it from here. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that, "For the promises of God find their yes of fulfillment in Him. And His yes and our amen are sent to God. We bring Him glory. For all of God's promises are yea and amen." So the promises of God don't only exist now. The promises of God already exist. All we need to do is what? Find them, possess them, and bring them to what? Bring them to life. When we ask God, it's not when it was created. No. When we ask God for what we need or what we want, it's not when those things were created. Those things already existed before the foundation of the world. All we need to do is align, find ourselves in them, and bring them to fulfillment. Just like Abraham believed that God could bring to pass, to life, what was already there. So also, we can bring to pass, to fulfillment, the things of God that we want for our lives. But we just need to approach His presence with confidence. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, what is the second thing that we need to do? What you need to do again is pray and believe that what you asked, you've gotten. You see, we always say that go to the presence of God with confidence and expectation. Expect that what you have prayed for has already been delivered. In the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it's a very popular verse that we know, but I would like to read it. Mark 11, 24. What does it say about believing what you ask for? What does it say? Mark 11, 24. It says that, "This is the reason I urge you to be boldly." The Lord is wonderful. We're talking about praying with confidence. It's a way to increase your capacity to receive. You have to approach God's throne with confidence. And look at what verse 24 of Mark 11 says. "This is the reason I urge you," Jesus speaking here, "to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours." I'll read it again. We're talking about increasing your capacity to receive from God. And we are saying that today we want to look at praying with confidence as a way to increase your capacity. And God is telling us here by the words of Jesus that "this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe." To confidently believe. That's the same thing. Boldness. Confidence. "This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Believe you have received and it is yours. You see, somebody's asking now that, "Yes, I've been asking for this thing for the past 10 years. I've been asking for this thing from God for the past 10 years. I've been asking for 30 years. I've been asking for 40 years. I've been asking for 5 years. I've even been asking for I want to get married. Oh, I've not found him yet. I've not found her yet. I want a child. He has not come yet." Have you forgotten your father Abraham, who believed and called to life the things that were dead, but he called them to life? He believed that God will still be able to resurrect his own dying body and bring a child out of it. You see, time seems to be irrelevant when faith is in action. Let me prove something to us. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, let me give us an evidence of the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, what does it say about time? You see, we are saying my time, my time, my time. But don't forget that God is the redeemer of time. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, it says something. It says, "So dear friends, don't let one thing escape you, your notice. A single day counts like a thousand years to God. And a thousand years counts like a single day." You see, faith is higher than time. The law of the operation of faith supersedes the law of time.
When you have faith, Abraham was 100 years. Time says that you can, that Sarah is already in menopause. That is what time says. Time says Sarah is in menopause. Time says that Abraham is too old. That child, that the womb of Sarah cannot bear children or a child at that age. But the law of faith superseded time, and Sarah bore a child. You see, it is not about disputing the facts. No. But it is about bringing faith into action. To be able to supersede time and to be able to dictate to fact. And to be able to dictate to fact. You see, faith takes us. Now, the fact is remains there. But faith takes us above facts. That when you are diagnosed with an heart condition, you can say, I have faith that that is not my diagnosis. That is not what I'm talking about. That when you are feeling a pain and you say, the fact is that yes, there is a pain here, but I know that I can operate in another level above the fact I see. Because faith is calling into existence the things that do not exist. So do you want good health? Why not call into existence that good health? And let the fact of not being very well with your body or cancer or heart condition or diabetes, which you think is the fact, go below faith. Faith is higher than time. And I believe and I know from what we have read that faith dictates the time for everything. Faith will tell time, it is time for you to operate now. So the law of time is subservient to faith. And the fact that you see is subservient to the faith that you have, that those facts of the doctor's report or those facts of your career is subservient to faith that you have. Yes, it might take time. You've been applying for a job for a long time. That, oh, I've been applying. It's been so long. God, when are you doing it? I see people moving. I remember the days I was applying for jobs too. Everything seems to be slow. And just now, I'm just looking back and saying, God is really a wonderful God. God, I didn't even remember that I said, I myself didn't remember. I told people where I wanted to work. I didn't even remember. But I now believe that you can call to life what you really want. You don't come into all these things by chance. You come into all these things by preparation and by faith in it. It's not by hard work, it's by faith work. It's not by how hard you work, it's by how hard your faith works. So I want you to go in from here today by working your faith, making your faith work, making your faith determine the time you want those things to come to pass. It's for us to know today that faith is a choice. To believe is a choice. You can decide to believe for it. Or you can decide to pay. I remember when God was telling, you know, when this revelation came and said, and God was saying that you can either pay for this from your money, or you can believe that I will pay for it. Now, God is asking us to believe for some things, and we are going to look for loans for them, or we are going to pay for them. What do you believe God for? Why not have faith for those things? Let belief bring those things into pass. Are you going to pay for it from your pocket? Or are you going to believe for it? Is there something that you feel that, oh, I don't know what God can do about this? Are we looking for more people in church? God is saying that I'm bringing them. I'm only preparing you. Get prepared. They are coming. They are on their way. Keep praying. Keep preparing. Prepare the ground for them. So that when they come, they don't go back. So leave it. Keep praying. Keep praying. You see? Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Because when I bring them, I want them to come and see the grass that is growing. I want them to come and feed from the grass that is growing. So let's keep faithing for it. Let's keep believing for it. Let's choose to believe for the things that are promised to bring them to pass. And I pray the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. What's the third step for us to pray with confidence and to increase our capacity to receive? It is affirming. Let every thought affirm what you have asked for or what you are believing for. Let your thoughts, let everything about you affirm it. I'll give us an example. I heard a story of one of a minister of God that they were believing God for a job for the wife. And what they decided to do was write everything that they wanted from the job. A good place, not far from the house, and not costed childcare. They wrote the criteria they wanted. Everything. Salary, they wrote it there, that nothing less than this amount. and they kept praying for it. Now, where am I going to with this story is that it says, let every thought of you affirm what you have asked God for. Somebody now called one day and said, oh, how are you doing? Have you found a job? What do you think she would say? It has to be yes. I have found a job. The next thing the person was going to ask is, where? And the person just said, the Lord will be. Thank you very much. And that's the end of the story. Not giving them the opportunity to allow doubt to come back into place. It's like, oh, how are you doing? You're not feeling very fine. Yes, but how are you doing? I am well and sound in the Lord. You need to affirm what you have asked for. You are looking for a child. You are praying to God for a child. Have you bought your first baby pram? Have you bought the cots? Have you affirmed? Is your attitude affirming the fact that God will do it? You are believing God for a car. Have you done your driving test? You are believing God for a house. Have you started looking for the best place to buy your house? You are believing God for some things. Have you taken the steps? Are your thoughts affirming it? That yes, my belief, my thoughts are affirming it. Let's read the book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 32. Let's see something about the thoughts. Because the battle of the mind is what the devil is fighting. God and the devil are fighting the battle of the mind. So we need to make sure that our thoughts are always of the Lord. Your thoughts need to affirm what you are praying for. Proverbs 30, 32. Proverbs 30, verse 32. What does it say? Talking about, I'll read it from this version. I would like to read two versions there. And I'll read the Amplified also. Because the Amplified put it in a way I like also. But I'll read from this version here. If you act foolish by drawing attention to yourself, or if your thoughts about saying something stupid, or if you have thought about saying something stupid, you better shut your mouth. I didn't say that. The Bible said it. Now, let me read verse 32 in the Amplified. If you have foolishly exalted yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. Now, let me explain. It says, if your thoughts are not aligning with the positive thoughts that you are praying for, if your thoughts are not aligning with the things of God, if your thoughts are not aligning with or are not affirming what you have prayed for, you better put your hand on your mouth and say, I better not. Don't say what you don't have to say. Say what you have prayed for continuously. It's like you are praying for God to financially bless your life and you are still saying that you don't have. You are not affirming what you are praying for. You are praying to God for perfect healing from cancer, from diabetes, and you are still saying you are sick. You need to continually affirm what you have prayed for. By his stripes I am healed. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Continuously affirm. When you have thought an evil thought, when your thoughts are not aligning or affirming the prayers you have prayed, you better do what? Put your hand over your mouth so you don't go and say it out. Don't say the thoughts that are not affirming the prayer you have prayed. Never say the thoughts that are not affirming that prayer that you have prayed. And as I've also said before, if it is worth worrying about, it is worth praying about. If you can worry, it means you can pray. Why not divert the energy of worry into what? Into the energy of prayer. And pray about that thing that is giving you worry. Because worry does not affirm your thoughts, your good prayers. Worry does not. Anxiety does not. So prayer does. Praying with confidence increases your capacity to receive. Praying in faith does that. Affirming those things that you have said does that. I would like to give us an example in the book of 2 Kings 19. I won't be able to read it to us, but when we get home, we can read it in our private time. 2 Kings 19 is a story of Hezekiah, where God told Hezekiah that, I'm going to fight your battle for you. Don't worry. And God did that. When he received the letter of the battle, what did Hezekiah do? We can quickly look at it. 2 Kings. Let's look at it together. 2 Kings, verse chapter 19. Maybe we should look at it. We'll just look at one verse. I want us to see what Hezekiah the king did when he received the letter for a battle. I know many battles are facing us at the moment. I know, yes, we are really, really drowning in some battles of life. Debts and all that. But let's see what Hezekiah did in verse 14 here. Hezekiah received the letter. Have you received the letter of debt? That you're owing a debt? That you know that God can clear it? Or are you receiving a letter from home and they're saying that some of immigration letters that you have to leave the country? But the Bible says that on the land where your feet steps upon, I will get it for you. Have you received some kind of notices from your apartment and you don't know where you're going to go to? Or have you received a quick notice in your office? Here is it here. Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of a messenger. I don't know what kind of letter you have received, but when Hezekiah received this letter and read it, then he went up to the house of the Lord and he did something. He spread out the letter before the Lord. How many times have you spread that letter? Has the doctor given you a diagnosis? Have they told you that, sorry, your womb cannot carry a child? Have the doctor given you a letter and said, sorry, I'm sorry, this is what it is? Hezekiah did something. Hezekiah took himself and the letter to the house of the Lord and laid it before the Lord and prayed to the Lord God of Israel. How many times have we prayed to God about the letters that we have received? Hezekiah went boldly to the Lord, and the Lord God of Israel confirmed his word that I will fight on your behalf. Can we rise up and we just pray? I want us to pray with confidence to God today, as we have said, that decide what you want. Find the verse of it and pray the verse. Don't be discouraged by what people are saying. You carry on, because God is guiding you. He's guiding you. Pray and believe that what you have prayed for, you have received it. Because faith is a higher law than time. And anything that you have prayed, affirm it with your words. Affirm everything that you have prayed with your words. Affirm everything that you have prayed with your words. I pray that as we have heard this word, that from today, our capacity to receive from God will increase. And we will be able to pray confidently and in thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Can we bow our heads to pray?